To focus on what they consider the most urgent targets, Homeland Security officials are trying to quantify the damage from different kinds of attacks. In a planning document first reported by the New York Times, officials calculate that an outbreak of pneumonic plague could kill 2,500 people. The explosion of a chemical tank could kill more than 17,000. In an interview with NPR, Secretary Chertoff argued that the most vulnerable targets need more attention, meaning other targets get less.
Everything is a trade-off. Everything, I mean, part of the discipline of doing an analysis about priorities is recognizing that you will inevitably place money in different places, and you will be moving money from one spot to another. And we have to judge, based on consequence, vulnerability, and threat, where we ought to put those resources.
Is there a kind of a brutal calculus that you'll have to make at some point? And let me give this example. You might decide chemical plants need more attention, and it would be a disaster if a chemical plant were struck. But that means that you must decide not to do as much about shopping malls, which could also be attacked.
Well, Steve, let me say, first of all, that it's important when you say you, meaning the federal government, this is not merely or exclusively a federal responsibility. What this is about is a responsibility that is shared throughout the levels of government and the private sector. Take shopping malls. I don't know that we envision that the federal government is going to fully fund security for shopping malls. But people who operate malls have an obvious interest in protecting what they've invested in. You know, right now, even without looking at the issue of terrorism, shopping malls have to have in place fire prevention. Now, that was not a federal responsibility. That is the responsibility of the mall. I guess the state and local government sets up a code that requires certain things. In the same way, the private sector will have to incorporate into its menu of responsibilities preparation for and the ability to respond to acts of violence, including acts of terrorism.
In the president's budget request that you're defending as the new secretary, the administration asks for a lot more flexibility from Congress in where this money goes. Right now, there are guaranteed minimums that the states have, and even very small states are guaranteed a certain amount of funding. You ask for those minimums to be sharply reduced. Do you really think that you're going to get from Congress the freedom to spend less money in Maine or Arizona or Wyoming, or a state that you don't see as generally high risk? As high risk.
Steve, we've been pretty blunt and forthright about the importance of risk management as a philosophy across the board. What are the real risks? What is the hierarchy of risk? And then how can we deploy our resources, including financial resources, to best meet that set of priorities under a risk management formula? Some would benefit, some might lose money. But I think there's a general consensus that Homeland Security is too important to be treated as a pork funding program, or is something that's going to be driven by a cookie-cutter formula.
At a Senate hearing last week, Susan Collins, Senator of Maine, as you spoke about reallocating resources in different ways, said, terrorists are smart enough to figure out where we are not putting the resources, the implication being that wherever you stick your finger in the dike, you're going to open up a hole somewhere else.
Steve, that's exactly why this approach of risk management makes sense. If we simply react based on threat, we are going to be chasing our tails. We cannot drive our investment in security based on a particular threat or even a particular stream of threats. We have to look holistically. What are the consequences? Where are we vulnerable? And then also, where do the threats seem to be?
But that seems to be the whole point. However you change the risk analysis, however you adjust to that, you may just create a risk somewhere else.
But that's why, as we manage the most serious risks, we drive down the consequences of an act. It's not terribly different from what we did with organized crime in this sense. When we attacked organized crime, the law enforcement community, we didn't eliminate crime. But by targeting the high priority elements of where they were causing the greatest damage to society, we drove the risks down, we drove the consequences down to a level which was still bad, but was not as bad as it had been. Likewise, in the area of terrorism, what we seek to do on the way to eliminating terrorism is drive down, again, to protect the most important, most valuable things against the greatest risks, so that the consequences of an act are less serious a year from now than they would have been, let's say, a year ago.
Mr. Secretary, thanks very much.
It's my pleasure.
And by the way, today Secretary Chertoff gives a speech in which he may outline some of the trade-offs his department may face in the months and years to come.